Okay, tonight's Maharal addresses a very complicated, perplexing conversation between Rachel and Yaakov after Rachel marries and then Leah marries Yaakov. Leah is blessed with four consecutive children, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda, three of which are named for the fact that Hashem saw her affliction, listened to her cries, now she'll have her husband's attention, and Yehuda, she gives her thanks. And then the Torah says, and Rachel then sees that she's not having any children. Vayar Rachel, that she's still a karah, she's not been able to have any children, and she approaches Yaakov with the following conversation. She begins it and says, Havali vanim vim ayin meis anochi. Give me children, she says, and if not, I'm a meis, I'm like a dead woman. He responds with a single line in which he says, Hatachas Elokim anochi. He gets angry, like, Chara, Af Yaakov Barachel. He gets angry, says, am I instead of Hashem? Like, what are you coming to me? You're yelling at me, I should give you children. He says, Mimech, Asher Manah Mimech Pribat. And Hashem has withheld from you children. And then that's the end of the conversation. She then says, okay, fine, here, take Bilah, my maidservant. You'll live with her, and I'll be built up through Bilah instead. It's a very complicated conversation. She starts with an angry, give me children, I'm like a dead woman. He gets angry in her. He says, I'm not in place of Hashem from you, that you've been withheld from children. And then she responds by giving her her maidservant to Yaakov. So Rashi fills in, if you want to look in the Ramban has a whole approach just now, peep shot. Rashi fills in midrashically a whole conversation that's really taking place, and the Torah is just giving us parts of the conversation. But the conversation, according to Chazal, go as follows. When she says, give me children, so Chazal say, what did she want from Yaakov? Yaakov was clearly doing everything possible to have children. What else does she want from him? So Chazal say, she wanted him to daven for her. She says to Yaakov, your father Yitzchak also didn't have any children. And when he didn't have any children with Rivka, he davened for the pasuk says very clearly, beginning of last week's parsha, Vayasa Yitzchak, Lenoichach Ishto, Yitzchak and Rivka are davening together. Why are you not davening for me the way your father davened for your mother? She complains to her husband, Yaakov. Yaakov responds in a manner in which he says, you want me to daven like my father davened? I'm not at all like my father. My father didn't have any children at all. He didn't have any children. My mother, Rivka, didn't have any children, so they davened for children. But I already have four children. You can't compare me to my father when you yell at me that I should daven for you. I'm not like my father. I already have four children. And I'll point out on this, says, so what? You still can't daven for your wife? Like, what difference does it make that you already have children? So Maral points out, with the birth of the Shvatim, it was already understood, it was specific as to which mother would have which child. And Yaakov says, I can't intervene in specifically in that way. The Medrash also points out, V'chikach anu, ona, is that how you speak to an anguished woman who doesn't have any children? Even if you have a justification, it's not how you speak to a woman who's in pain over not having children. The Medrash says that Hashem says to Yaakov at that moment, you'll see all of your other children will eventually be subservient to the children that this woman is going to have, which of course happens in Mitzrayim when Yosef, the son of Rachel, all the other brothers are going to bow down to Yosef. But in any case, so Rachel says, you need to daven for me like your father did. He says, I can't daven like my father. I didn't have any children. So she says, okay, fine. But your grandfather, Avram, he had a child already, and he davened for Sarah. So you at least, you should be like your grandfather, be like the Zaydeh, daven for me, the way your Zaydeh Avram davened for Sarah, even though he already had children. So Yaakov says, I can't do that either. Because when Avram davened for his wife Sarah, Sarah had given Hagar as a maidservant. And you haven't done anything like that. So sure, Avram was able to daven for my grandmother Sarah, but Sarah gave a maidservant. You didn't do that. So she says, oh, that's the problem. I'll give you Bilah. Now you can daven for me. So there are a couple of issues that have to be addressed in this series of dialogue. Number one, the Maral addresses, where do we actually see that Avram davened for Sarah? There's not a single pasuk anywhere in Chumash that implies or states anything that Avram davened for Sarah. By the time we're introduced to Avram and Sarah, we're introduced pretty early, but where we meet them really as the Imos and the Av and Eim of Klal Yisrael, they're already all elderly. Avram's not, it's way beyond a natural means, and we don't see anywhere that he davened for her. So how does Rachel now make the argument, you should be like Avram who davened for Sarah, when we don't really see that? So Maral says an amazing thing. He says, it's true, we never see the Pasuk actually describe that Avram davened for Sarah, but we do see something else. We see that Hashem promises and assures Avram that he's going to have a child through Sarah. not just children. He says the children that you're going to have are going to be through Sarah. And you can see from the haftacha, from the assurance that Avram is given, if he's given an assurance that it's going to be through Sarah, what do we know? That he wanted it to be through Sarah. And the Maral says for two reasons. Number one, we have a general rule that you only assure someone of something if you know that they care deeply about it. Meaning it wouldn't make any sense for me to make an announcement tonight and say, I just want to assure everybody here there's going to be marble cake at breakfast tomorrow morning after davening. Don't worry, there'll be marble cake. Because I guarantee none of you are thinking about whether or not there will be marble cake. There will be, there won't be, whatever. If it's sponge cake, it's marble cake, it's a rug, whatever it is, there's something out there. So you don't assure somebody and say, no, don't worry about it. Now, if I said, don't worry, there'll be a Kiddush club on Shabbat. Okay, yeah, that's on your minds to make sure that there'll be such a thing. Then you have to assure people. But if no one's thinking about something, you don't say, don't worry, it's going to happen. I wasn't thinking it wasn't going to happen. I didn't care one way or the other. So the fact that Hashem comes to Avram and says, don't worry, not only am I promising you children, it's going to be through Sarah, you know that it was on Avram's mind. And if it was on Avram's mind, Ritzon Yireyovia Asef for sure, Va'ani Tefilasi. If it was on his mind, then it would come out in the sense of a tefila. Furthermore, he says something else. He says, if the fact that he's going to give him children through Sarah, so we also know something else, because the way that Hashem runs the world, in the language of the Maral, Misha'enu Mispalel Al Tova, someone who doesn't daven for something, Eino Nosemo. You don't get it. If you don't ask for it, you're not going to get it. And he brings a very interesting proof. We're going to read soon. We're going to get to Sefer Shmos. And Moshe's argument, why can't Moshe go before Paro? What does he argue before Hashem? It says, Kvad Pev, Kvad Lashon, I can't speak well. So the Maral asks, it's almost like a funny question. The Maral asks, so why didn't Hashem heal him? This is the Parsha of miracles. The Parsha of throwing the staff onto the ground is going to turn into a snake. He puts his hands in his pocket, turns out into tzaras, pours water, turns into blood. Miracle after miracle after miracle. Why can't we heal Moshe? Well, how about do it in this way? Only when Moshe comes before Paro, then he's able to speak, and every other moment he's stuck with his stutter. Wouldn't that be an awesome miracle? Why, when Moshe says, I can't speak, Hashem says, okay, fine, I'll send Aaron. Heal him! Why doesn't he do that? Ah, Zakhtar Maral, an amazing, so he didn't ask. Moshe never said, heal me. Moshe said, I can't because I have a problem. So Hashem says, okay, take Aaron. If Moshe would have said, I want it, help me succeed and heal me, would have healed him. But Moshe just said, I don't want to do it. I can't. Okay, if you're not going to ask, I'm not going to fix it for you. You asked me to fix it, I'll fix it. But you didn't. So Maral says, can't be that Avram will be given a haftacha, an assurance. No, it's going to be through Sarah. If it's going to be through Sarah, we know that it was on his mind. We know that he cared deeply about it. And we know that he was asking about it. Because he wouldn't have gotten it if it wouldn't have been something that he thought about and cared about and asked for. And Hashem promises him, yes, not just children, but children specifically through Sarah. So Rachel says, you have to be like the Zaydeh. Avram had children already, and he davened, so you need to also. Tomorrow, Mr. Hashem will finish the back half of, so why does she need to give a maidservant? And where does that come in as being part of the equation that then he can daven for a child?